that Baruch Hashem, it's for many of us a good idea to go into medicine. Nothing to feel guilty about or hold back about. And according to many poskim, it's even a mitzvah to learn to be a doctor. Some of the poskim that we saw, the Chafetz Yaakov in particular. And what we didn't get to emphasize last week enough, and is in that handout from last week, I think it's the second to last page, I don't know exactly, was I put in there a statement from the Torah and a statement from the Nishmas Avraham. To the effect that one thing that is bli safek, that everybody agrees to, all shitos, is that once you become a doctor, and once you've elected to become a doctor and are going to be a doctor, you have a tremendous achrayus to optimize your effectiveness in that role. Now, when it comes to l'tamid adam reicha, you have a heightened responsibility. You have the achrayus to do everything you can to the best of your abilities to help people in the field that you've chosen to go into. And what you'll see as far back as Rishonim, statements of Rishonim, and as was very well illustrated in that tour that I put into the handout, among the important responsibilities is to keep well-educated, to keep up to date. And as much as you'll hear this in medical school like crazy, and you'll hear it during residency even more, Chazal were telling us that from the get-go, that it's very, very important to be a baki if you want to be taking on this responsibility. And what I liked about the Nishmas Avraham, the reason I put that one in there, is because the Nishmas Avraham takes it a step further, and he starts talking about Tov Shevaro from the Gehenim and that whole sugyo, and then he throws in, as much as it's a scary thing, and the Achrayus is tremendous, the Fum Tsar Agra, that along with that is a tremendous schar available if you meet this Achrayus. And I like the way he played up the positive. I thought that was a very nice, refreshing change in terms of the stern warnings you seem to get all the time when you read this type of literature that relates to this. But he was emphasizing that it's a tremendous, tremendous schus to be able to do this and to do it properly. Having said all that, now the question becomes, the first thing you kind of hit with, if you're a Shabbos-conscious person, which we all are, Baruch Hashem, when you get to medical school, one of the first things you get hit with, assuming it wasn't an issue that already came up in college somehow, is studying on Shabbos, studying medicine on Shabbos, studying for tests, attending conferences. Do they have classes here on Yom Tov, I assume, right?
Nope.
Right? Many medical schools, they certainly do have classes on Yom Tov. So a question that comes for a lot of those people was going to class on Yom Tov. Obviously, there's not generally classes on Shabbos, but there are other things that take place, conferences, etc. And what about having somebody tape the class, and what are all the inyanim that involve in that? That's the sugya that we're going to be entering now. So, as sort of background to background, we're going to do a little background today to this inyan, some of the sugyas that will relate to the ultimate conclusions. The Lach Lamaisa, I just gave over two handouts that, Mitzvah Hashem, when we come back after Yantav, the next time we'll get together will be the first Sunday after Simchas Torah. We're going to have the Halacha Lamaisa as much up to date as possible, including the input of some of our contemporary poskim into these issues. But by way of background, we have to understand and appreciate this area of Shabbos that is the non-Malacha area of Shabbos, the Mimsel Chefsecha Davar Davar parts of Shabbos. And by way of Hakdama, the Gemara in Shabbos, Adaf Samech Tes, this is not in your handout. This is the Hakdama to the Hakdama is not in the handout. The handout is just the Hakdama. So, the Gemara there, it's a fairly well-known sugya, discusses a person who is lost in the Midbar, lost Baderech, and he doesn't know what day of the week it is. He lost track of time. What should he do about being Shomer Shabbos? So the Gemara offers two possibilities, two options. One based on the fact that you view Shabbos as Adam HaRishon was the first person to be Shomer Shabbos. He was born on Friday. Shabbos was the next day. So perhaps the Gemara suggests he should be Shomer Shabbos the first day and then count 6 days. That'll be Chol. Or alternative, no, we'll say it's go according to Briyas HaOlam, right? So count 6 days and then the 7th day will be Shabbos. Those are the two options. The Gemara discusses it back and forth a little. There's a Tiyufta. Seems to conclude that the way to go is count 6 days and then the 7th day is Shabbos. So what exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says, we have a big problem here, because really, unlike Yom Tov, in which the Kedusha of Yom Tov is stemming from what? Chodesh, right? Chodesh Hazeh Lachem, right? So we are the ones that give the Kedusha to Yom Tov. When it comes to Shabbos, it's Kavuah V'Kaimah, it's from Sheshes Mibreishes, that Kedusha is there. It has nothing to do with this guy choosing to count 6 days in Bisham Shabbos. That's not going to make the Kedusha. Kedusha is on a certain day. So it's a suffix that every day is Shabbos for him. So what does he do? So at the end of the whole discussion, the Gemara concludes, what he's got to do is, he'll count, he has the 6 days, he's counting his chol, and what he'll do is malacha mishum pikuach nefesh, for his parnasa, right? That's what he'll do, whatever malacha he needs to do to stay alive, right? And then the seventh day will be Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but then he'll die on the seventh day. What are you going to do on the seventh day? So the Gemara ends up saying, so he'll do twice, double the work the day before. But then the Gemara says, that's not good either, because what if that day was really Shabbos? So he's doing Shalom Tzarech work on Shabbos? No good. What does he have to do? Every single day of the week, all seven, he's got to do work for Pikuach Nefesh. So he's doing the same exact Yisurei Melacha every day. So what's lacking? Shvisa Nikaris. Right? The Gemara says, and Bamei Yah Shabbos Nikar, what will give recognition to one day? So the Gemara concludes, he'll make Kiddush and Havdalah. That's what he'll do. 6 days a week, 7 days a week, he's going to have the same Isser Malacha, where he'll just do Kedei Parnasasa, and then on one day, he's going to do Kiddush and Havdalah, and that'll be the Shvisa Nikaris. Very nice. So Rav Soloveitchik, in a very famous essay in his Yurtzeit Shiurim, right, it's in the Sefer, the Zecha Avi Mori. The name of the essay is Kavod Lamech Shabbos. It writes a fantastic landmark essay to elaborate on this concept of a Shvisa Nikaris. And in it, he really, I'll give you the bottom line of that essay, but it's really kedai to read. It's really a classic. And I'm only going to give you half of it. I'll give you a synopsis of half of it. The other half is on another Indian. It's really just a fantastic essay. As well as those Yurtzeit essays are the best. Rav Soloveitchik out there, in my Lithuanian Dante. But anyway, getting back to the topic, so in it he expands and he expresses the following concept. He says, it says in the Rambam, compared to Lamed, Hilchos Shabbos, Rambam says, Arba Dvarim Nimrim Shabbos, Shnayim Midivrei Torah, Shnayim Midivrei Kabbalah, or Nevi'im, Midivrei Sofer. He says, the Shnayim Midivrei Torah, Shamar V'Zachor. And Isparshu, Yidei HaNevi'im, uses that lashon, that they were mefarish, whatever the Torah was saying, kavod va'onek. And from this, he develops a whole beautiful idea that there's something very special to the halachas of Shabbos that are midivrei kabbalah, that are divrei nevuah. And he says that it's completely parallel, it's a perush. It's not just a takana like any other takana of the Rabbanan. It's a very special perush of the Nevi'im as to what the Torah had in mind. When the Torah told us, Shamar Zim Shabbos Dekacho, Zachar Zim Shabbos Dekacho. So the Nevi'im are now going to be mefarish for us with Kavod V'Oneg and related halachos, exactly what the Torah had in mind. And what is the Torah had in mind? A Shvisa Nikaris. That was the major objective for us, to make Shabbos a very special day, a very recognizably special day. And how did it do it? So in the Torah we have this Malacha, that's certainly going to do it. And we have Zachor, which is Kiddush V'Havdalah. Those are very important ways of making a special day out of Shabbos. But the Nevi'im took it to the next level and paralleled the Dinim Daraisa. Just like there's a positive Kiddush V'Havdalah expression and a sort of Shev Altasa expression of Isur Malacha, of Mina Torah, so too the Nevi'im did it, Medivrei Kabbalah, right, based on the Nevuah, they did it, Medivrei Sofrim, by Kavod V'Oneg. What are the parallels? So the parallels are, in terms of positive Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos, the fact that we have all these special sudos, and we have special levisha, and special anhagos, all mishum kvod and onik Shabbos, and nimsal chetzach of adaber daber, is the sheva tase equivalent of expressing the shvisa hanikeres of the isum halacha. Parallels that. And it's a very high level halacha, because it's not just takanas derabanan, but it's the Divrei Kabbalah. What does that mean? So just to give you an idea, Israel Halacha L'maisa, so the Prima Gadim has an introduction to Arachayim called the Psicha HaKolelos, right? And in it, he goes through the hierarchy of Hashivas of Halacha. So something that's Mefurish, the Krah, that's the highest level, right? What's the second level? Something that's a Gzer Shavah or a Hekesh. And then number three is the other yudim amidos. Those are all the raisa, the raisa, the raisa. And number four is this, is divrei kabbalah. And as an example, he gives kavod v'onik shabbos in the psicho kololos right over there. It's os yud ches, something like that. So, what is this important halacha? Because it's going to have expanded and significant effects on how we conduct ourselves on Shabbos. So, to just, in a sentence, define the halacha of Nimsa Chetzach and Davar Davar, anyone actually want to give a stab at it? Anyone? Now, what is the halacha of Nimsa Chetzach and Davar Davar? How does that halacha define? Something you should be conscious of every single Shabbos. People are nichshol in this all the time. Constantly. Davar Davar is the one people really mess up because they're always talking. Okay, it's very tough to control what we say. But Nimsal Chepska also is very, very commonly messed up. So I'll just get to the chase because we're actually short on time. There were a million people raising their hands. Nimsal Chepska is the iser for a person to make any active preparatory move towards something that he's going to be doing after Shabbos, but is usher to do on Shabbos. Right? You're not doing any malacha yourself. You're not doing any isur derabanan. You are just making some type of, I'll give you an example in a minute, some type of preparatory action whose purpose is to prepare for something that you're planning to do after Shabbos, but it itself is an isur on Shabbos, even an isur derabanan. So, for example, classic examples of people mess up is they're walking in the street, they go and they look at the store, and they see in the store, oh yeah, look at that, it's on sale, this is going to be great, I'm going to buy this right after Shabbos. So, first of all, making the effort to walk over there and look at that, right, and check it out, and check out what they got going for after Shabbos, that's a classic example of this Isser. Because Mekach HaMekach is Usser on Shabbos, you can't buy things on Shabbos, but you're making a preparatory move, you're actively involving yourself in something. Well, the other one I see in Teaneck all the time is people that are having construction around their house. So, you know, they're going over, let's check out what's going on, what we're going to need to tell the guy after Shabbos to do in terms of fixing things up, or what needs to be added to the house, or something like that. It's another classic example of getting involved, making a move towards something in an overt fashion that is really for something that's us to do on Shabbos itself. And the key is, that I'll separate this from the Isra Hachana that we're going to talk about also, is that you're doing something that involves preparation for something that's usher to do on Shabbos. Hachana is not going to need to have it to be usher on Shabbos. We'll see that. But this is talking about dafka, something that's usher to do on Shabbos. The davar davar is an oral expression of the same idea. So just to speak about those things. Oh, I'm going to buy this great car tomorrow. You know, oh, I can't wait. I'm going to go down and go here and do this and do that. And whatever that's usher to do on Shabbos, you can't speak about it either on Shabbos. That's mitzal chetzal of the davar davar. So really, any business conversation or any business actions that will you're doing to, even though everything you're doing is on the face of it totally mutter, right? It seems to be totally mutter. You're just talking, or you're just walking, or you're just looking. You're just making that type of preparatory move, and you think this is nothing. Nevertheless, if the focus of it and the purpose of it is for something that would be usher to do on Shabbos, then it's usher to do under this heading of Minsel Chesed Adavar Davar. Right, so the Gemara that talks about it is Ron Shabbos on Daf Kuf Yud Gimel. There, the Gemara goes through the pasuk v'chibadto v'chibadto. So it's the rachecha mimsel chetzecha v'davar davar. So v'chibadto is your visha should be the same. Your should not be the same. That's v'chibadto. So rachecha is talking about hiluchach, your walking should be different, you should be running on Shabbos, that's the halacha. Nimsal chetzachah davar davar are then explained in that Gemara along the lines of what I'm saying. What are the exceptions to nimsal chetzachah davar davar, important exceptions, right? Nimsal chetzachah, chetzachah, but chefse shamayim are okay. So if it's chefse shamayim, it's for a mitzvah, that seems to be okay within this halacha. So, for example, right, if I want to, if the thing I'm doing involves some important mitzvah, important tzarech rabim, then I can do it, right? Even if it's along the same lines of what I just said was usher for business. Same thing for davar davar. Davar davar also has an additional heter, right? Davar davar and nimsal chetzach are going to intersect, they're going to overlap in terms of the heterim, right? So davar davar is Aser bat hirurim mutarim, right? You could think, right? You could think it, and you could, in a non-overt way, even express it if it's not obvious. So, for example, a person is just walking in the street. The same my guy that I was criticizing for walking to his construction on Shabbos, right? But if he happens to be just walking, he's taking a little Shabbos stroll with his wife. He's not required to avoid their construction. They can walk by because it's normal for people to be walking by on Shabbos. So that's not considered the same type of issa. It's not overt because it's not overt.
It's like when people say like they're driving, they're going to be driving down to Baltimore.
So that's okay.
Supposed to say they're going.
Right. In other words, like what you can say, well, you can't say the lashon that I'm going to do this.
Or say I'm going to Baltimore as opposed
right,
to driving.
Right. Exactly. That you can say. Where it's not obvious. If unless of course there's no way you're getting to Baltimore other than to be driving, so there might be a problem. But you could talk about things in the past. You could talk anecdotally and stories that you're allowed to talk about. You know, you could say something like, "Wow, I got this really great car," right? That's not the same as I'm going to buy a car. It's the discussion of the isser that's the problem, something that's usher to do in Shabbos. All right. Now, this is all important for what we're about to get to, because somewhere, somehow, the isser and the limitations on what you're allowed to read on Shabbos are finding root in this halacha. And that's what we're going to discuss now. That's really our topic. Our topic is, it's very important for us in understanding what we're going to do with medical texts, in particular on Shabbos, is understand the root of this halacha, really understand what's fine. So, the halacha of shtari hedyotos, that's the head, right? And here we're going to start to get near our handout, finally. So, shtari hedyotos is going to be the isser, the fundamental isser, to read certain things on Shabbos. And we have to understand exactly what is within that isser, and where does it come from, and what's behind it. So the first exposure you have to it, you don't have in your handout, I take that back, there's one sugya, I didn't put it in the handout, and that's the sugya of Kisei Kodesh. That's on the Daf Kuf Tes above in Shabbos, right? The mission over there is talking about what things, the whole parak, what things can you save in a fire, right? Shlomish Sudos, everybody's familiar with, right? But the opening mission is called Kisei Kodesh Matzilin, that you're allowed to save Kisei HaKodesh, right? And then the Mishnah goes on, this is an incredible thing. It doesn't make a difference. The ones that are mutter to be cross on Shabbos and the ones that are also to be read on Shabbos. And we're not going to get into the sugya of Matzilin, right? But you're allowed to steal it because Adam Baal or Mamono and not Sufi Kodesh, and you might come to put out the fire or whatever. Putting that aside, our issue is, what does this mean? There are certain Kisvei HaKodesh that you're allowed to read on Shabbos and certainly not. How could it be? The Mishnah itself is bonded by that. The Mishnah, how often do you see a Mishnah explaining itself, right? So this is one of the rare times. The Mishnah over there says, and what do we mean that there's certain things you can't read on Shabbos? Certain Kisei HaKodesh, it's talking about Bitul Beis HaMikdash, that we're worried that people are going to be Mavatel from Beis HaMikdash. What's that referring to? So that's referring to that you're allowed to read Torah, you're allowed to read Nevi'im, but Suvim, there was an Isser at the times of the Mishnah to read Suvim, things from Suvim, in the morning, in particular. Why? Because the Mishnah tells us, and we're worried that people would be mabatil from the Beis HaMedrash. We wanted all the people that are working all week and not learning in the Beis HaMedrash on Shabbos morning, because there's very important practical Hilchos Shabbos going on there, and other halachas. That's when the Rabbanim would take advantage of having everybody available, no one's out in the fields working, so get them all inside the Beis HaMedrash and we're going to teach them practical halacha. We don't want them being taken away by these riveting works of Ksuvim, right? Yad and the Yom. Right? How is this idea of Yom Yoma? Right? Because the Kohen Gadol, one of the ways to keep him up, right? What did Mishnayos and Yuma say to keep him up all night so he wouldn't fall asleep and get into trouble? They would read to him from Ksuvim, right? Some of these riveting works of Ksuvim that would Moshech his lave and be keep him up, and in this case, keep people away from the Beis Medrash. So that was it. That was what the Mishnah seemed to say. But the Gemara on the Beis says, oh, there's another reason. There was another reason that doesn't get accepted in halacha, but it really opens up the sugi for us. And that is, Rabbi Chanya says, the reason is not because of the Bitul Beis HaMikdash. The real issue is because of Shtari Hediotos. We want people to say, wow, on Shabbos, we can't even read Kisei HaKodesh. Kal v'chomer, kol shekein, we're not going to be allowed to read Shtari Hediotos. So that's the opens the discussion. So what is this horrible thing Shtari Hediotos that you're not supposed to be reading on Shabbos? That's the question. What does that encompass? What did Chazal not want us to do? So we get a little more idea now in the handout on Kuf Mem Ches. On the days, and the Mishnah is talking about a person who's preparing a Suda, and at the Suda, he's making dessert lists, right? He wants to make sure, it's very embarrassing if you have more people than desserts. So he's counting out, or who's coming to the Suda? We have, you know, whatever number of people, you know, or just his family. It's a lot of people, sometimes it's a lot of people, you know. I don't know, some, you must have been aware at people's houses, especially in Cicero, where there's like, you know, 50 people at the Suda. So you don't want to have it that there's not enough dessert. So they used to have lists. So they make up the list before Shabbos, and they would check it, double check it. So the Mishnah says, you can check Baal Peh, but you can't read it off the list. Why not? So that's about Chalobis. One sheet says, because we're worried you're going to come start erasing. You're going to see, oh, all these, over too many people, not enough dessert, start erasing people from the invited list. But the other sheet, Sheetah Baye, is no, it's not that. It's because it is an example of Shtari Adiotis. So the Rishonim now really start to discuss what exactly is Shtari Adiotis between these two sugyos, the sugya on Kuf Tes Vav, and this sugya over here. What is Shtari Adiotis? And what you end up having is a major machlokas Rishonim as to what exactly is meant by Shtari Adiotis. What does Hediotos mean? What would you have said? How are you doing? Shtari Adiotis, what does the word Hediot mean? Anybody?
Hediot. What name document?
What? Right, good. So one definition, I need. One definition of Hediot. Hediot is like mundane or a common private person, not one of the Rabbanim, not the one of the Chashudim. The Hediot is the common mundane people. That's what Hediotos means. Hediot might mean that. What's another context you'll see Shtari Hediotos? In other words, used in Bava Kamma, other places, is it's really specifically talking about business documents. Right? So that becomes the Machlokes Rishonim. What exactly is Shtari Hediotos? Does it mean any non-Kedusha document? That's one possibility. Not Torah. Or does it mean specifically business documents? And you have them lining up, and you have Rashi, and Tosfos, and the Rashba, and the Ramban, and the Rush. They all are holding Mekach u'Memkar. It specifically means business documents. That's what they were concerned with. And what were they concerned with? This is all part of that same Mim Sochet Sochet V'Davar Davar. It's not a different halacha. It's not a new halacha. It's part of that old halacha we spent all the time discussing earlier. That's what this is all about. Shtari Adiotos is no different than Mim Sochet Sochet V'Davar Davar. It's not new, and therefore with it, it has all the nafkaminas and all the parameters that we have for that halacha. Whatever was true here with Mutarim, right? Chavsei Shamayim, Mutter, all those things will be okay. That's what this halacha is. It's not new. You take a look at the Rambam, particularly in the Perush Mishnah, the Meiri, the Ritva, the Baal Maor, these Rishonim have a very different take on it. They say, no, they seem to lean more towards the other definition. The Shtari Adiotis means anything that is not Srach Kedusha, in the words of the Baal Maor, something that doesn't have a connection to Torah. That's what it's talking about. That's a much more expanded definition. So what are going to be the nafkaminas? Well, at first it looks like there'll be tremendous nafkaminas, but then you begin to learn, and you see there's another sugya. The sugya, it's also in the handout, on the Kuf Mem Tes in Shabbos, there, where the Gemara clearly brings in another case, Dukonos, which is these pictures. They used to have these, like, comic strip type things, or these pictures of scenes from Tanakh, or scenes from that Tanakh, and used to have writing underneath it. So the Gemara says, you're not allowed to read that on Shabbos. So why not? Shtari Hediotos again. So what does that have to do with Mekach u'Memkar? How can anyone say the whole thing is Mekach u'Memkar if you're not allowed to read these depictions, these biblical depictions? So all those Rishonim that said it's Mekach u'Memkar, they say, well, it's Shema Yachlif. We're worried that people will, if they're allowed to read this, then they'll come to read that. So at the end of the day, it seems like there's no nafkamina between the two approaches, right? The Rishonim that hold it's anything that doesn't have Kedusha are going to include everything, the secular. And the Rishonim that hold it's Mekach u'Memkar, we then expand it through this Shema Yachlif that you're worried a person will confuse the two, also seem to expand it to everything secular. So does that mean that there's no nafkamina whatsoever between the two? So the answer is no. And it's very, very important to realize that at the end of the day, there's a tremendous nafkamina. So now if you look at the first page of the handout, this I wanted you to see inside. What you have on the top page of that handout is that Gemara from Kuf Mem Tes, and you have the Rush. The Rush, which you could probably barely read, unfortunately, I'm sorry, but you can look it up over there, is the Rush is really putting together what will be the Psak Halacha. That's why I put the Rush in of all the Rishonim. Because the Rush is following the Mekach and Memkar approach, which is really the one that seems to win the day, and you'll see why that's important. And he summarizes it all. However, the Rambam who and the others still are going to find their way into Allah. And they're going to find their way in a very important nafkamin. And that is that according to the approach, that it's Mekach HaMemkar, and this is all just part of Mimtzach Hetzchak David Abba, and we're worried about Shema Yachlev, so we'll expand it, there will be a line drawn as to what you worry about that you might confuse with Mekach HaMemkar. And the line is drawn right on Sifrei Chachma. Sifrei Chachma is going to be the big nafkamina, our topic. According to the Rashba, the Rush approach, the Tosfos, the Rashi, the one that really, I think, wins the Halacha, Mikardin, so Sifrei Chochma are not something you're concerned with. A person will not confuse Sifrei Chochma with the Shtaros of Mekach HaMemkar, and therefore they held mutter to read Sifrei Chochma on Shabbos. The Rambam and the other Rishonim whose concern is, no, this is not the Gzeira of a Mimsel Chavzcho. It's not. It's a new Gzeira, apparently. It's a new Gzeira where we want to, a new Takanas Chachamim, where their concern is, we want in a very proactive way to make sure the only thing you're doing on Shabbos, right, is learning Torah. That's a different focus and a different emphasis, right? And if you look, I wanted you to see on the next page where the Rambam is coming from, right? Basically, the Rambam over here in Perek Lamed, Halacha Yud, he gives you his idea of what Shabbos should be, right? And there's really nothing going on Shabbos except for owning Shabbos and Talmud Torah in the Rambam's life. Right, and which is the ideal for everybody, right? Achilas basar shdiyas yayin b'shabes onig hu, v'hu shehaisi yadu masagas, etc. Basar v'hu asudas ala yayin b'shabes yom tovi b'shabes 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 kach haya mina katzadikim arishonim. Mispalal adam b'shabes shachris umusa b'beis ha-kneses, v'yavo l'beisa v'yiso tz'ud ha-shniya, v'yelech l'beis ha-medrash yikra v'yishna ana mincha v'yispalal mincha v'harkach yikva asud ha-shlishis ala yayin. All you're doing is you're doing only Shabbos through the Sudos, you're davening when it's appropriate, and you're learning. And that was the Shabbos for the Rambam. And this fits beautifully in with his concept of Shabbos, which is that the only thing you're allowed to do on Shabbos is learn anyway, therefore all other types of works, including Sifrei Chochma, are off limits. This was the minhag tzedek, so it's the ideal. So maybe even the Rambam himself recognizes that this is perhaps not necessary mikar din, but he's certainly promoting the idea. He is. And if you look, if you look in the Yad by Shtar Yadiotos, and if you look in the Perish of Mishnah, which you have, I don't know if you can read it on the first page. Here, let me just read the way he describes that halacha. Mishuma, right? He's talking about the dessert list. Right, they're not allowed to read that, right? Why? Gzeira Shema Yikra Igra Shalom Mishabbos. Vehu Aser, Ki Levad, Misifre Nevuos, O Perishayim, Aser Likrus Mishabbos, O Biyomto, Vafiloheh, Oso Sefer, Mechachma, Mina Chachmas. He blankly tells you that there's an Iser to read anything but something that has to do with Torah in some new fashion. And in the Mishnah Torah, he also is consistent with that. And we'll see that this is going to play out a little in the Shulchan Aruch. But you're right. In terms of describing his ideal day, it could be that that is for the Tzaddikim Gemurim. But in terms of this particular halacha, he certainly is, this is mefurish in the Yad, that he doesn't want you reading anything but Torah. So what do we do with this halacha ma'isa? We have one group of Rishonim very strong telling me it's really all about Mekach HaMemkar, and some other things I shouldn't read, certain letters, certain other correspondence. But if it's Sifrei Chochma, Mefurash, the Rashba, and those Rishonim say it's Mutter, and the Rambam and others, the Ran, right, say that it's really, no, it's a completely different halacha. It's the halacha of promoting that Shabbos is a time only for Talmud Torah. And by the way, this, you can take the parallel of Rav Soloveitchik, you can throw it into this now, right? What do we have here? So there's a machlokis. What's Shtar HaGiotis? Was it one of the Sheva Altase type of Shvisa HaNikeres? Part of Mitzvah Chetzchon Adama Dava? That's those Rishonim. Or the Rambam's telling you, no, this is really the more proactive, positive expression of Shvisa HaNikeres. The Shabbos is a special day. It's more akin to Kavah V'Onik Shabbos, that you're only supposed to be doing something uplifting, like learning Torah on Shabbos. You can really play this out to the hilt. That maybe is the ultimate Nekudas HaMachlokes in understanding the whole Gzeira of Shtar HaGiotis. But the bottom line is, if you go to page 2, so here I put down the entire discussion in the Mishnah Berurah and the Shulchan Aruch on the way this halacha plays itself out. And you can read it at your own leisure. I'm just going to summarize it and get to the bottom line. The bottom line is that we paskin nikar din, like the shittas that said the whole thing is really about mitzvah chetzcha, it's all about business documents, and it's all really limited nikar din to those type of things, and we're only going to bring in things that we are afraid, shema yachlik, that you'll confuse with business documents, and if we let you read these, you'll come to even read those. That's what the Shulchan Aruch is building up. However, when you come, and if you come down to the bottom half of the sheet, to halacha yud zayin, the Mechaber can't help himself, and he brings in, after paskening, it seems like those other Rishonim, he brings in the following. Asur lilmod b'shabes v'yom tov zulas b'divrei Torah. V'afilu b'sifri chachmos asur. Who's he quoting? Right? He's quoting the Rambam. And then he throws in, yesh mi shematir. However, there are those that are matir. Who's that? That's the Tshuva Sarashbo. That was on the first page, and the other Rishonim would fall in line. So, Ba'alfi, Ba'alpi Svaras of the Mikilim, Mutter Lahabit Ba'ashtrolab B'Shabbos. This is going to be important for us when we get into talking about conferences and labs on Shabbos. He says, and according to the Mikilim, if you're allowed to read Sifrei Chochma, like medical textbooks, then you're going to also be able to use these instruments that are, as long as they're not muksa and you're not involved in any malacha, you're going to be able to use those as well because it's all part of the same type of thing. So, what do we do? The Mechaber tells me first, asur, and then he tells me, mutter. So what do you do? So you go to the Mishnah Berurah usually and say, is Mishnah Berurah going to help me? Is Mishnah Berurah going to like clarify this? So if you look at Yud Zayin Samechei, right? Sifkat and Samechei, Yesh mi shematir, v'ken no'agin l'hakel. So first, the Mishnah Berurah seems to say, okay, so that's the minhag, to be mekel, you can read Sifrei Chochma, no problem. V'kasa b'Eliyahu Rabba, v'yirei shamayim, roi l'hachmir b'zeh. Ki ha-Rambam v'Aran osrim. And then he reverses himself. So we're still left with confusion. Right? Now the Mishnah Berurah is telling me, okay, I can't be mekel, but then he's saying, but you know, really, if you're yirei shamayim, right, you should be machmir. So, is everyone in this room a yirei shamayim? You like to consider yourself the Yerushalayim, right? So we're getting still nowhere when you read that part. Then you turn the page. So the next place you might look is the Aruch HaShulchan and the Shmiras Shabbos Kelasa. At least that's the next place I looked. So the Aruch HaShulchan, I think, clarifies. I think he does a nice job of clarifying the whole issue. And he puts it into perspective. He says, he explains the origins of the Isser and the Rambam and the Heter and the Rashba. And then he says, you know, the truth is, the way it works is Midas Chassidus, that's the answer. The Ikar Hadin, final word from the Aruch HaShulchan. And really, I think Shmiras Shabbos is going to follow along as well. And I think Halacha Maisa, this is the bottom line. The Ikar Hadin, Halacha Maisa, we paskin like the Mekilim on this issue, that Sifrei Chochma are allowed to be read, right? There is not the Chil Shabbos involved in Sifrei Chochma. It's a Midas Chassidus, all things being equal, if you can, to meet the Madrega of the Rambam, and to only learn Torah on Shabbos, and to stay away from it. Okay? So now, before we get to medical students and doctors and any of them, so if you just look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Sugya, Alpi Shulchan Aruch and Alpi Rishonim, so the average person, before he starts medical school, certainly, so he's going to face with this decision. He can Ikar Din read whatever he wants to in terms of Sifrei Chochma. But if he wants to do Midas Chassidus, he should refrain and only learn Torah. And everybody gets to decide how they want to do it. Good. What about, just as an aside, nothing to do with our topic, what do you think about because this is relevant to all of us. What about, let's just say, for fun, a magazine or a book, fictional novel? So what does that have to do? Right, so what would the Rambam say? So forget it, right? It's not forget it. But, not so fast. Not so fast. Because the Mishnah Berurah even makes a comment, and he quotes other Achronim, that, and I think you can read this into the Ramah, that if you get Oneg from it, it's a very tenable argument that if you get an Oneg, that that's a Kiyum Mitzvah on Shabbos, and that would be Matir reading a novel for Oneg. So I just want to say what I wrote this up at one time, and it's in the, anyone wants a real detailed summary of all these issues, it's in the RJJ journal from a few years ago. And anyone familiar with Gil's student, Hirhurim Nablam? He didn't like that when I wrote this article, I put in the footnote,
this is what I just told you about Oneg Shabbos.
Put in the footnote that if you read through the Mishnah Berurah, and you read through the Aruch HaShulchan, and you read through Shemir Shabbos, and all the Achronim, to me, they were pushing hard, promoting the idea of the Rambam, and they wanted people to really, you know, when you put things in print, you go usually L'chomer, right? And you're promoting the idea that the ideal is, you know, it's time for Torah. Look, you're working all week, you're doing other things. At least on Shabbos, be involved in Kiddush as much as possible. But I thought that, I knew that most people, as far as I know, read other things on Shabbos, and why should everybody feel guilty? The truth is, there's definitely room for heter on that, for sure, and quoted the Mishnah Berurah. But Gil's student thought, criticized me, because he thought it should be headlocked. So now I'm trying to make amends. I'm mentioning it outright, that certainly there's room for kulas, for sure, and I don't feel guilty again about, for Oneg Shabbos. They need to relax. Part of Oneg Shabbos, and she said he cares, is the fact that, as long as you're doing the Shem Shemayim, of course, not just Slam relaxation. But relaxation that's Oneg Shabbos, then there's certainly that heter available.
But those, the Mishnah Berurah sort of does mention like the concept of novels or histories or stuff like that.
Yes.
And he says, however, we have to have no problems of those through.
That's not the Mishnah Berurah I'm talking about. That Mishnah Berurah is part of the Chumrah, right? That Chumrah, he's being machmir.
But I'm saying in general, he's saying you can't read those things anyway if it brings to the Hurim or whatever it is. In other words, like the stuff has to be completely clean, devoid of any problems.
Oh, that's for sure. That's not your Shabbos.
But I'm saying right? that's a thing. Like you don't find so many, like there are novelists that
are you saying it's hard to find something? Okay, that's another topic. Right, that's another.
No, but I'm saying it's related because the material that you'd be matir in such an article would have to specify the material that person would be able to write.
Right, so I'm saying as long as it's appropriate, put in parentheses.
What on this for reference? Then, you know, it should be headlines as well, you know.
Right, well, he wasn't worried about that part of it. He wasn't criticizing that part. But, no, I mean, the bottom line is, right, the Mishnah Berurah, when he's discussing over here, these halachos, he's mentioning, by the way, so what are Mut Tesfarim, even Lachomer? The Mut Tesfarim and Lachomer are things that are Jewish philosophy, Jewish history, that's Nikar Din, okay, according to the Rambam, everybody would hold that that stuff's okay. I'm talking about non Jewish history and that type of stuff, but something for pleasure, just for pure pleasure reading. So there's even, you know, I forgot the Mar Malkum, I forgot which Mishnah Berurah it is, if it's in the article. I forgot where exactly Mishnah Berurah says it, but in the Siman, something in the Mems means a deep, deep recessed bell, but I don't remember exactly. Over there, the Mishnah Berurah does allude clearly, I think it's quoted in the Mar Malkum, I forgot exactly which Achronim or the Rabba, that Mishum Oneg, you can read other things. Right? And if you read the Halakha Maisa Svar that are out there, you know, like the Rinam Halakha's book and the other Shabbos art school things, you'll see that sometimes they make even big mention. Often they don't. But that is definitely, that heter is there. Obviously, you know, one should do the best they can to fulfill the great levels of the Rama. What I want to just end off with, which is where we're going to focus next week, Halakha Maisa. Now, this is all the background. Yeah, this is all the background. Now the question is, how do we, as Yirei Shamayim people, going to medical school, how do we encounter this issue? So one approach is, if you're holding, like we discussed last week, that it's really mamash a mitzvah to learn to become a doctor, if you're within that shita, you're in good shape. Right? You're certainly in good shape. You don't need to be somach on the mekilin to justify reading medicine on Shabbos, because it's a mitzvah. If you're holding like Rav Moshe Feinstein and we're going to see Rav Shlomo Zalman, that's a study to be a doctor, not a mitzvah. They're going to be demachner. I'll tell you right now, they're machner on this issue. They don't think medical students should be studying medicine on the Shabbos. They do think doctors should. And in fact, I'll show you the little interchange. Avram, originally he wrote a sefer called Lev Avram. That was his first book. And in it, when he talks about this issue, so he writes, I was shocked until I saw the follow-up. L'chumra, you know, he says, and by doctors, even. By an established doctor, you have to be somach on the Rashba and the Mekilim in order to justify studying on medicine on Shabbos. This person is already a doctor. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman wrote a haskama to Lev Avram, to that sefer. And in it, he critiqued halachas he didn't agree with. This was one of them. He said, what are you talking? A doctor is doing a mitzvah. He absolutely has, he's not so much on any cause at all. According to the Rambam, according to everyone, he'd be very, very in good position to be reading as much medicine as he needs to for the treatment of the patients. However, where he draws the line from Shlomo Zalman is a student. He doesn't think a student is in the same category. So we'll have to see how that plays out. And obviously the Chalkas Yaakov approach that we mentioned would probably feel differently, that you can. Now all this is studying medicine for the sake of knowing it, to be able to take care of people, to do the mitzvah of medicine. It's a whole other ball game when you talk about studying for a test. And we have to see how that plays out. That's where the real messianos come up, right? I remember the guy, and I'll end with this little anecdote. When I was in medical school, so there was a guy, my friend from High Berlin, really top guy, unbelievable. I think he got like the highest grade on every exam that we took throughout 4 years of medical school. He's just a brilliant guy. Never studied on Shabbos at all. Amazing. I remember being nichshol on several occasions, but he just never, absolutely not. And he managed to do that. But and he had such a strong sheet about it. I remember him lecturing all the time. But we'll see. We'll see how much maneuver room there is. And we're going to have to first discuss a little about the Isra of Hachana, right? We'll do that first, and then we'll get into all this Halacha Maisa, including what to do about conferences and other things that might be scheduled on Shabbos and that you would encounter as a medical student. Baruch Hashem, Tov.